It's just one forecast, but it's a rigorous one that finds the world economy is supposed to be quite good this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. It'll be like a flight that gets you safely to New Delhi on time, but with moments of turbulence. The World Bank thinks 2014 is going to be a good year for many economies around the globe. 2.4% growth last year could be 3.2% this year. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us with more. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
Now, this forecast for the world economy is surprisingly upbeat. You've been talking to the World Bank. What got into them?
The key thing, I think, is their view that the rich countries are finally beginning to turn a corner. We've got the Eurozone now starting to grow, and the United States picking up a bit of pace as well. And that, they think, is actually very positive news for the developing world. Sure, there are risks, and of course that improvement in the United States is indirectly the biggest single risk, because the possibility that Federal Reserve tapering, the withdrawal of the extraordinary stimulus the Fed has been pushing into the US economy, that has the potential to disrupt global financial markets. But on balance, the bank's economists reckon the developing world is very much looking at a slightly improving outlook over the next couple of years.
Now, you mentioned tapering by the Fed, by the Bank of England, by the European Central Bank. When that happens, interest rates rise, capital flies back to the richer economies and can actually hurt the developing world. Is that factored into this forecast?
It's certainly factored into what might go wrong. When I spoke to one of the senior economists at the bank who was behind this report, he was arguing that what we've actually seen in the last year has been quite a lot of financial market turbulence on the talk of tapering, speculation about exactly when and how quickly. What happened when the Fed actually started doing it was not insignificant, but it was much more moderate. So the World Bank, I think, is taking some comfort from that, hoping that, if you like, that the markets have already got a good deal of their reaction in anticipation of it taking place.
Speaking from London, the BBC's Andrew Walker. Andrew, thanks.
My pleasure, David.
That said, there's news today that growth in Germany was a bit disappointing. The economy there grew at just 0.4% annual rate, the weakest performance since 2009. Want to see Marketplace live? You can enter to win a chance to join us at the Norse Theater in San Francisco on January 28th as we discuss the new era of philanthropy. Details and rules at marketplace.org/trip. In the healthcare business, it's often best to check your assumptions at the door. Take the business of medical lab testing. You'd think, with millions of new patients coming in under healthcare reform and many of them who haven't seen a doctor in years and need a pile of tests, that lab owners would be drooling over their microscopes. But you'd be wrong. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein explains why.
Over the next year, there'll be plenty of this.
Mr. Gorenstein,
hi,
how
hi,
are you?
Good.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Last week, I asked Michael Sirigliano, an internist with Penn Medicine, to walk me through a first-time doctor visit.
You're like snow with no footprints in it. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know where I stand with you.
By that, Sirigliano means he needs to run some tests. Cholesterol, kidneys, some other blood work, too. Of course, thousands of Dr. Sirigliano's will be ordering similar lab work for their new patients. But if you think lab owners are house hunting for second homes on Hawaii, forget it.
It's not a great time to be involved with this industry.
That's Dennis Weissman, a medical lab consultant.
Laboratory revenues did see a decline in 2013 for the first time since, you know, I've been following this industry for well over, 35 years plus.
Even with a small bump from new ACA patients, a report from market research from G2 Intelligence predicts the $75 billion industry will continue to slip through 2015. What's behind it? Shrinking reimbursements from the federal government and private insurers. And more cuts are coming. Dan Mendelson with consulting company Avalere Health says the industry's economics are changing.
It's getting less expensive for lab companies to do the routine tests, and the federal government wants a part of that action.
To protect their businesses, labs like Quest and LabCorp are moving beyond that routine work. Richard Nicholson, who runs West Pacific Medical Lab in Southern California, says the money is in the more sophisticated, specialized tests, like cancer tumor profiling and pediatric sequencing for genetic disorders.
It's like selling a Gucci purse versus a purse at JCPenney. They sell less of them, but they make more money.
Dr. Eleanor Harriman, who did the G2 intelligence industry analysis, says what's happening with labs is what's happening throughout healthcare. Simple volume doesn't drive business anymore. The new healthcare currency, she says, is value, like a new DNA test for sepsis.
Instead of it taking 3 days to figure out what the bug is, these new DNA tests are rapid, and so they move it to 12 hours. So these tests are lowering death rates and saving thousands of dollars per patient.
More and more doctors and hospitals must live within tight budgets to care for their patients. Harriman says the future of the lab industry lies in finding tests that help providers do just that. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And the supporting data for the following claim is quite flimsy, but in the category of just saying. People named David make the best husbands. For women, people think Katie's make the best wives. 2,000 people responded to what was really an online game of word association. I don't know, doesn't David sound like a reliable but dull second husband? What you need is something like, in New York, I'm Antonio Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.